In the book of Hebrews, Abraham is lifted up as this great paragon of faith. He is the example of faith. And yet we read a story like we do today, and we have to begin to wonder about this Abraham. He really is very human. So he has his glory moments, but he also has his weak moments as well. And as we read this story today, we might not reflect quite so well on Abraham, nor does it reflect quite so well on his wife Sarah, who also has been lifted up as an example of faith. Earlier in Genesis, Abraham is the one that was said, asked by God, pick up your family, all your stuff, and move to a place I'll show you. Abraham did. Well, there were many things that happened after that point, but one of the star moments was when God said, you're going to be the father of many generations, as plentiful as the stars in the heaven. And still Abraham and Sarah were childless. Year after year after year. They finally had this miracle child. Quite amazingly, had this miracle child when Abraham was, I believe, near 100 years old and Sarah was likely in her 90s. How would you like to have children then? So anyway, here they're having this miracle child rather late in life. But when Sarah found out she was supposed to have a child, she laughed. I think I would have too. And when the child was actually born, Abraham named him Isaac, which means laughter. And now in today's text, this child, Isaac, has been weaned. It's not an age when there are these handy things called bottles. There aren't breast pumps. This is a time when mothers would have to have separated themselves from a very close relationship with this child. It would have been a turning point in her life. Just verses before where we just picked up today in this Genesis passage, Sarah is saying, who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. She's ready to praise God for this amazing, amazing thing. And then the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son. Something broke in her at that moment. This son, Ishmael, who was born to Hagar, if you'll remember, the story was actually born because Sarah said, well, since I can't have a child, why don't you take Hagar and see if she'll have a child for you? But now that she has her own son, she sees Ishmael as a threat to his future, and she wants to get rid of him. She's no longer thankful to God for this miracle child. She's suddenly taking hold and saying, I'm going to protect my son no matter what. No more thankfulness to God, but this mother bear instinct has taken over, and she's going to protect her son Isaac and his future. And she does it by saying to Abraham, get rid of her. And Abraham, this admirable man, is okay. But he doesn't do so lightly. God says, go ahead and do it. And he sends her off with some bread and a skin of water. I think it's a very troublesome story. Because we're wondering about Abraham and what kind of person he really is. But we also have to wonder about God, who would say to Abraham, well, yeah, I'll send this woman and this baby out into the wilderness with a little water and a little bread. So we scratch our heads and we read it and we start to think about it. And we have to kind of look outside of the text and do a little imagining here. We have two women living in the same household, two sons by different women to one man. You think Presbyterians fight? Can you imagine what that household would have been like? It would have been a no-win situation for Abraham. And God says, okay, there's one way we can resolve this. I'm in charge here, and we're going to let this woman go out into the wilderness. But God has a plan. God has a plan that Ishmael will also father nations. So Abraham's not going to just be this great-great-grandfather of all these people of Israel. He also becomes the great-great-grandfather of all of the people of the Arab nations as well. And to this day, among the people of Israel and the Arab nations, people will say, Abraham is the father of all of these people. God is in control. And in this situation that looks a little iffy and not too favorable to Sarah and Abraham, God has a plan that is a master plan that overrides all of the doubts and fears that people might have. And what is happening here is a very, very human thing. Sarah is seeing Ishmael. It says playing is the literal translation, but it's the verbal word of the verb form, you know, the action form of the word, of laughter. So it could be that Ishmael is sitting there laughing with Isaac. So it could be that they might form quite a nice, tight union here. Maybe that scares Sarah. But it also might be that she thinks he's laughing at Isaac. Nevertheless, what's happening is this shift, change is approaching. Isaac is going to sort of leave the nest. She's not going to have this nice, close, tight-knit relationship with Isaac anymore. She's not going to be able to control his waking, his eating, his sleeping like she used to. And how many of us have had to let little children go and grow up and make their own mistakes, fall down on their own when they're first learning to walk, and then pick them up and brush them off, let them ride those bicycles, scrape their knees, their elbows, and maybe even get some cuts and gashes. So Sarah is at that point where there's going to be major change. She has to let go of Isaac. And she wants to protect him and his future. So she's going to take control and try to guarantee his future is what she wants it and hopes it is going to be. But what happens is so very human. When we are faced with change, lots of times what we want to do is control things even more. And the tighter we try to control it and hold on, the worse it gets. All too recently, I moved. Like, I'm still in the process. So before I moved, I had to keep everything in precisely the same place it had been all along for the last 4 years. Nothing was going to move before I had to move it. And then the movers came. And nothing has been the same since. But it was a very human nature part of me and still is. I'm struggling against it. I want to control the way things are, but I can't. I can't do it. And there's a part of me that knows deep down that the reason I bought this house and I made this move is because it is what God intends for me to do. And I have to trust in that. And no matter how uncomfortable I am, no matter how miserable I am to not be in control, I have to trust God that it all will work out. I've lost jobs and been on unemployment, which was an unpleasant place to be, right? You've been there too, a lot of you. There is that sense that God is a God of purpose and that God will lead us to some place even better than where we were. That God has that master plan. And so we have Sarah trying to control things. Then we have Hagar who goes out into the wilderness like she's supposed to. She's not happy about it. She doesn't want to watch her son die. She puts him over there under a bush. But I sense that Hagar's attitude is a little more like the psalmist in Psalm 86, who says things such as, I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I'm devoted to you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord. And she says things such as, there is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you. All the nations will bow before this one God. And so Hagar shows us the trust. Sarah shows us the clinging and wanting to control things. Congregations go through these shifts. You lose pastors. Nobody's ready for a pastor to resign and move on and go somewhere else. So we're faced with this time called transition. And too often there is this desire to make everything stay the same. There is this desire that the next pastor will be just like the last one and things can continue the same. And yet if we do not let go and trust God, God cannot intervene, shake us up, and show us all the possibilities of what God intends for us. We have to go into the wilderness like Hagar, depend upon those meager provisions, the uncertainty of whether we will survive or not, and turn to God, the one God who is so amazing, all nations will bow down to God. And trust this God to take out of even the most mixed up, chaotic situation and turn it in to something that is totally amazing and wonderful and new and totally beyond all of our expectations. But because this one true, amazing God is the one who is in charge, we can trust that it truly will be the best thing possible for us. And all will be well. And all will be well. Let us pray. Oh God, help us to let go and let you be God and do your work. Help us to not try to do your job, but to trust in you to do yours. We pray that you will guide this congregation, its PNC, into the future that you plan for us, no matter how amazingly different it might be. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.